The following readings are the basis of today's sermon, especially these words. From John 18, 36 through 40, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no bias for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Thus far, the reading. I hate the term Good Friday. That's the opening line to this comic. The BC comic. If you're ever familiar with the Sunday funnies, you're familiar with BC. The caveman with his caveman friends, and they often have little adventures, and by the time you get to the last panel, there's always a little punchline. This comic, almost always, if you have the funniest, comes out on Easter or thereabouts. It's famous, because it doesn't have a punchline, but it does have a twist. BC is sitting, looking at the sky, and he says, "I hate the term Good Friday." His friend Curls, the intellectual, asks him, "Why?" "My Lord was hanged on a tree that day," replies BC. Now I get that. If you were here last Sunday for Palm Sunday, I talked about how you had the joy of Palm Sunday. Christ walking in, the victor, the boxer entering the arena, the fanfare, Hosanna, Hosanna, who comes the one in the name of the Lord. It's awesome. Plus you get a palm branch and a sword. Good Friday's has a different attitude. You're in the middle of the passion narrative. Jesus going to the cross. You feel a little beaten down. As a kid, I could agree with BC in the comic here. I hate the term Good Friday. And as I said, this comic has no punchline, but it does have a twist. "I hate the term Good Friday," says BC. "Why?" says Curls. "My Lord was hanged on a tree that day." Curls, after the intellectual, responds, "If you were going to be hanged on that day, and he volunteered to take your place, how would you feel?" BC replies, "Good." Curls turns to leave and says, "Have a nice day." We're all familiar with the story of Jesus going to the cross. It's almost so well known that any of you here can tell me the story back to me. We have the story, the narrative of Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to be hand in hand. But there's this one character who seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't know much about him other than he's an insurrectionist, a thug, a murderer. Sometimes on the first viewing, you look at Barabbas and you're like, I don't understand why this person's included. The story is about Jesus. Who is this Barabbas guy? So as it goes on, the people are asking for Pilate to crucify Jesus, and so he has an idea, an epiphany. Finding nothing wrong in Jesus, he goes and tells his guards, go find the darkest cellar, bring out that Barabbas guy. Yeah, I have a plan, I have an idea. He brings him up, he gets on the stage in front of his palace, and he says to the crowd, "All right, who do you want? It's a holy day, it's Passover, and we have a tradition that I will release one man to you. Who do you want? I have before you Barabbas, the thug, the murderer, or Jesus, son of the living God?" He thinks his plan's going to go well, because after all, anyone looking at it could see the innocence. "Hey, I'm going to put Barabbas, this murderer, this rebel, this thug, back on the streets. Or you can have Jesus back. Barabbas rightly deserves the crucifixion. He deserves the chains, and he's going to get what's coming to him." Jesus? What has Jesus done except restore the blind, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? And Pilate, standing amongst the crowd, says, "Who do you want?" And he expects to hear back, "Give us Jesus." But instead they say, "We want Barabbas." "Yeah, give us Barabbas." Pilate almost can't believe it, but he washes his hands, puts his blood, Jesus' blood and responsibility on the Jews and hands them over to him. The centurion comes forward, unlocks Barabbas. You perhaps see him chuckling. "Yeah, my people love me. I don't know who this Jesus character is, but my people love me." He walks down. There's no story of Barabbas turning to Jesus and saying, "I owe you everything now, for you have set me free." Yet still, it is Jesus who sets him free. But the mistake is thinking that it was the people that set him free. No, it was the love of God the Father. The more I look at the story of Barabbas, the more I realize Barabbas is me. Barabbas is you. We're the sinners who deserve the chains. And yet, instead, the Father treats us and Barabbas like Jesus, and treats Jesus like Barabbas. That is the love of God the Father. That is the love of Christ, saying, "Let him have Barabbas. Let me go in his place." As I said, there's no record of Barabbas turning and coming to faith. He walks away with his free gift and doesn't even look back. And so our story continues, leaving this auspicious stage. Jesus continues on his way to the cross. He goes, he is hung, tortured, beaten, bruised, gasping for breath, and he is mocked. Perhaps most strikingly, he sits where probably Barabbas was supposed to end up that night, with two thieves next to him. And do not let the translation get you. The word thief is better translated as highwayman, burglar, mugger, someone who takes you upon the road, kills you, and takes what you have. This is exactly where Barabbas should have been, but Jesus is now in his place. These two people next to him are getting the sentence they justly deserve. Yet one goes and he turns and he mocks Jesus. "Hey, are you not God? Why don't you save us? Save yourself." It's interesting. Jesus does not respond to this man. But on his other side, you have the other thief. He almost says, are you crazy? You and I, we're here because we deserve to be here. But this man has done nothing wrong. How humbling that must be to say, I deserve to be here. I deserve the death that I am being given. I deserve this humiliation for what I have done. And then forth from his mouth comes these words. Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? It's like, no pressure, God. Could you even remember me? This man, he's, by his own admission, getting a sentence that he rightfully deserves. It's not like Jesus or anybody else can say, how about you go to church for a little bit longer? How about you pray some more? And then we'll get your life on track, and then maybe you can be saved. This man has literally nothing. He's actually less than nothing because he is a criminal dying the death that he deserves. He has nothing to offer. Will you remember me? I don't know how much you all know about the crucifixion, other than it's ugly, and it was effective. It was a way of the Romans showing everyone around, this is what you get if you step out of line. This is how we deal with people that we don't like. Not only are you bolted onto this cross, but due to the way that it's structured, it's very difficult to breathe, and you have to, your arms are up, and you keep having to struggle to even get your breath. So talking takes effort. And Jesus has already been beaten before he's even gotten here. So his response takes effort to pull himself up so he can talk. And he tells this man the gospel. Today, you will be with me in paradise. It's interesting because from any onlooker, whether it's there at the trial or there at the cross, whereas Jesus is finally put into the tomb, would see this moment as ultimate defeat. Christ has died. Jesus is gone. And yet, worse than gone, Jesus has been given the death of a slave and a criminal. But this is the moment of ultimate triumph. So ultimate that it completely undoes death. And no, there is no better illustration of this than the cross. Because if you look at the cross today, what do you all see? You look at the cross, or anyone, anywhere in the world, sees the cross, and immediately you think of Jesus. You think of the resurrection. You think of Christianity. In the ancient world, no one, until after Jesus' death, would have ever even considered that. For the cross meant one thing. This is a symbol of the Roman Empire, the predominant power in the world. Step out of line, and you're getting death. Now, the Roman Empire is just stones in a field. Yet the cross, Christ, his message has permeated the entire world. How wonderful that this moment that the world would see as defeat is instead ultimate victory. I hate the term Good Friday, but knowing that Christ took my place, that makes me feel good, because I know I should be there on the cross, and Christ takes my place. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.